The text is the gospel reading from verse 18, chapter Matthew, Matthew 13, 18 to the last verse, 23. Jesus says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." Here ends the text. When a troop leader wants the attention of his troops without formally calling them to attention, he barks, "Listen up." Jesus ends the parable of the sower with the familiar statement, "He who has ears, let him hear." Then when the disciples ask about the parable's meaning, he says the imperative, "Listen up." Listen up about dirt. My mom loved dirt. When she would plant her garden in the spring, I had to smell the dirt of Michigan. It's not like your Texas dirt or dirt around Austin, which is closer to rock than dirt. It was black, pungent, fructifying. But let's be clear, this parable is not about dirt, but people. Virtually all the modern translations make it about dirt or the seed. Our insert is typical. It translates Jesus saying about the first sowing, "This is the seed sown along the path." But the word is masculine. It's not neuter. Therefore, it's about a person, not a thing, not the neuter seed or dirt. The New American Standard is right. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The seed is sown in four kinds of people. People trampled down by life, people surrounded by rocks or thorns, and people fit for seed. The people trampled down by their sins, by excuses, listen without understanding. The people in the midst of the rocks of life have no spiritual depth, so they listen rejoicing, but the reception is only skin deep and withers quickly. The people in the midst of the thorns of life's worries or the thorns of life's wealth, well, they have the new spiritual life of the seed, but it gets choked off before it bears fruit. What we don't want to think here is that all people are all four kinds of soil. Neither do you want to think that there are ultimately four different kinds of people in the world. No, there are two. There are believers and there are unbelievers. There's no third group somewhere in between. Jesus is not showing a continuum of soil between trampled and good. No, Jesus is showing you the many faces of unbelief. But he is also showing something more startling than that. The ancients knew of trees that produced fruit, and they were called oikarpa, good, edible, useful fruit. And they knew of trees that were acarpa, that is, they produced fruit, but it was not edible to man and of no use to him. But the word used here is neither one of those words. It's acarpon, not having fruit at all. That sense of the word is not found among the ancients at all. So when Jesus said the seed among the thorns, the one choked by worries or the riches of life was unfruitful, he says something very startling. He states the impossible. All seeds produce some fruit. A seed that produced nothing was unheard of. It was unnatural. Listen up. There are only two kinds of people. Fruitful and unfruitful, believing and unbelieving, saved, damned, found, lost, in Christ, out of Christ. And there's only one kind of seed. Listen up about that seed. To quote the NBA's new slogan in 2001, it's all good. And for once, that short phrase is 100% true. All the seed sown by the sower is good. It's all good when it falls by the heart trampled by life. It's all good when the sower pitches it onto the rock. It's all good seed when the sower casts it into the thorns. And it's all powerful. Look on the internet. There are lots of pictures where a single seed fallen into a tiny crack in a roadway, concrete vault, or a roof has sprouted. It grew and it split something wide open. The giant sequoia, which can grow over 300 feet tall, comes from a seed the size of a flake of oatmeal. Look what the good seed does in the text. Look at the power it demonstrates. Sown among inhospitable rocks, it nevertheless sprouts there. Sown among thorns that are thick to begin with, so that it's difficult for the seed to make it to the ground, it does, sprouts, and even grows there. Behold the power of the seed. The devil himself is so afraid of just one seed of the gospel of forgiveness of sins, of atonement, of redemption, of salvation, that like a blackbird, he swoops in to snatch it from the heart, lest it eventually sprout. Look at the horizontal rafters in the ceiling. That's where the evil one is perched right now, just looking for the good news of what Jesus did for sinners to bounce off an ununderstanding heart so he can devour it. Listen up. The dirt is people, the seed is all good, but the parable is about the sower. Jesus himself names the parable. He says, listen up to the parable of the sower. It's not the parable of the four kinds of soil. It's not the parable of the seed. It's the parable of the sower. But get this. He's the promised seed that sprouted from the pure dirt of the Virgin Mary's womb. All humanity was formed from dirt, came from dirt. In order to redeem us, our Redeemer had to come from that same dirt. Now, this all ties wonderfully together. In Genesis 3:15, Adam and Eve make a mess. Where? In a garden called Eden. After the Lord came exposing their sin of unbelief that killed them, damned them, and brought death and damnation into the world. But then he made a promise, and it's about a seed. The promised seed is passed down through sinful people, through fallen dirt, until at last his flesh and blood, made from dirt, is taken up into the divine nature in the person of God the Son. Now we have the promised seed born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might keep the law for all humanity. But they still had to be redeemed from the sin, the death, and the devil they had sold themselves to by breaking those laws. Redemption costs something. Amazon doesn't redeem a coupon or code without paying you for it. To redeem us from the just anger of God Almighty, Almighty God the Son humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. And God promises that anyone who hung on a tree was cursed to hell. Could Galatians 3:13 be any plainer, any simpler, any completer? Quote, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse in place of us. The promised seed sprouted from the virgin's womb, and so he was dirt from dirt. But because he was also the second person of the Godhead, he was God of very God. And this one goes out sowing the redemption, salvation, forgiveness, and new life he lived and died for, bought and paid for. And he is so gracious in sowing the seed that sprouts salvation, he appears stupid, wasteful. We didn't need Jesus to tell us that seed sown on beaten footpaths bounce off. We didn't have to have God the Son teach us that seed cast on the thin veneer of soil over rocks isn't going to last long in the sun. And we didn't need the wisdom from on high to know that seed thrown into the midst of thorns will be choked out by the much faster growing thorns. So what is being told us here is not information, but revelation. The revelation of the over-the-top graciousness of your God and Savior. 75% of the good seed produces nothing. The world sees that, you know. How many times have you been told the church is a bunch of hypocrites? How many people who appeared to be faithful Christians told you they only went to church for the sake of their kids, their spouse, or out of a habit? How many people have you known who sprouted rapidly into joyful Christians only to shrivel and disappear? Yet Sunday after Sunday, Bible class after Bible class, conversation after conversation, the Lord Jesus is sowing the seed of the gospel of forgiveness, life, and salvation as if it didn't cost him anything. And it's free to you. It's free to everyone, but it costs Jesus. It cost Jesus his blood, his sweat, and his tears, and far worse and far more than that. The Lord Jesus wills that his seed be in all dirt, in every ear, even dirty ears, because his seed is all good and only good. It has the wonderful property of the tobacco seed. For all the evils put on the doorstep of tobacco, the plant itself does the wonderful thing of changing the soil it grows in. Most seeds take away from the soil. That's why crops are rotated. Tobacco gives back to the soil, making it even better. Not one of us is good soil. Every one of us is born dirty dirt. From the womb we came that way, fallen, hardened, rocky, thorny. Our very first thoughts are evil, dirty, says Genesis 6 and 8. We are sinners from the moment of our conception, says Psalm 51. Out of our hearts can only come dirt, says Jesus in Matthew 15. Not one of us is by nature good soil. No, by nature we are sinful and unclean dirt, either too hard, too rocky, or too thorny to produce anything but unbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice. But the sower doesn't pass over or by such miserable dirt as me. He sows the good seed. By word and sacrament, he plants forgiveness, new life, and faith in us. Do you see the object of faith here? Do you see what is to be believed, trusted, hoped in? Certainly not amending your dirt so you can make it good soil. Certainly not the fact that the good seed bounces off trampled dirt, dies in rocky dirt, and chokes in thorny dirt. No, the focus of faith is the sower. Look what he does. No matter how many times the forgiveness of your sins has bounced off of your heart, he sows it again today. No matter how many times he's given you eternal life and you received it with joy only to have it burn up, he's planting it again today in your heart. No matter how many times your worries or your riches have choked out new life in Christ, he gives you it again today freely, completely. The ancient Greek fathers of the church alluded to the parable of the sower by calling men of faith either deep-rooted or many-rooted. We are to be rooted in the sower and what he did to redeem us. And like the taproot of a pecan, we are to penetrate deep into his promise to forgive us. However, you know, taproot plants die if anything happens to that root. So be many-rooted in Christ. Be rooted in his promises to forgive, never to forsake you, always to provide for you, never to forget you. Have many roots running to the waters of your baptism, running to the words of absolution, and running to the body and blood of Jesus in communion. Listen up. Jesus says to reach up to the side of your head. If you can find ears there, this message is for you. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.